Hey everyone. As I'm sure you can tell, I have a very exciting episode lined up for you guys this week. A while back, I had the opportunity to sit down with psychic medium and best-selling author, June Edward, to discuss her work, her books, and of course, swap a few ghost stories. And today, I'm sharing that conversation with you. Before we get into it, make sure to follow June on social media and check out her website for information on readings, webinars, and upcoming books. I'll have everything linked down in the show notes, and I really think that you guys will enjoy the work she's doing. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the episode. Hey, June, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. It's been, I feel like, kind of a crazy day for both of us, but hopefully, you know, it's going to get better. Before we kind of get into the interview itself, do you want to tell my listeners kind of about your work as well as where they can find you?
Sure. So I'm a psychic medium, which means I talk to dead people. I did die when I was 27, and I came back here by choice.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You know, my life takes me on different adventures every day, to be honest. So I've worked on missing person cases. Sometimes they just come out of the blue. I had another one last week, just out of the blue. I've worked on some murder cases. I've consulted with many paranormal groups and authors on identifying what's in their pictures or what they've got going on, who they're trying to find. I've had a lot of experience in a lot of things. The other side like to train me well.
Yeah.
I've tried to focus on helping people get in touch with their soul, teaching them how energy works, teaching them how to talk to the angels, because they are really mm-hmm. here to help us, help them get on the path that they're supposed to be on. They can go to my website anytime, juneedward.com. There is a free webinar on there for them they can take about energy. There are plenty awesome. Of videos they can watch. All my books are available. There are links for all of my books. All's Fair in Love and Karma is my latest, which is a bestseller. It's available in all the bookstores in audio, but easier to find on my website. And
awesome.
Always available for readings, consultations, any of those things they can book on my website as well. And I'm available on all the social media sites.
Perfect. Yeah. And then just so you guys are aware at home, I will have June's website linked in the show notes. Just so if you're interested, you can go and check out her books or book a reading. I guess while we're on the topic of books and like your reading and kind of works like that, would you mind kind of telling us a bit about your inspiration behind the books that you have? And obviously they're available on the website, but I just thought
sure.
that they were interesting. I was going through them before we hopped on the call and I wanted to get your perspective on them.
So I've been writing my autobiography for many, many years and have trashed it many times, usually when my kids find it, because I didn't want them knowing my past life.
I had
a very difficult and challenging life. And, you know, you always have people that want to play the victim and the poor me. And there's not much that I've gone through in my life that you haven't. So I wrote my autobiography to prove that. So people can read that and say, damn, if she can get through that, I can get through that. More of an inspirational
yeah.
for people. And while I was yeah. writing it, I was also taking care of my mom in the nursing home. She was passing. And I kept hearing,
oh, sorry.
You have to write the book. You have to write the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm writing the book. And they're like, no, another book. I'm like, what book? Well, I was also teaching mediumship and psychic development at the time, and they wanted me to write a book for my students to have something in hand to take home. So I literally told them on the other side, if you want me to write this book, I have no time taking care of my mom and writing my autobiography and working. You're going to have to help me channel it. And they did. And I wrote my first book and I published it in 6 weeks.
Wow.
And then I went on to finish my autobiography and publish that. And then I created the Relationship Mastery Program, which is a 7-week online program. And I geared it towards people that were having relationship difficulties, maybe heading for a divorce or going through a divorce, because those people are more motivated. They're willing to invest in themselves and they're willing to do the work and make the change. And mm-hmm. I put hundreds and hundreds of people through that program. I work with one person in the relationship. And it only takes one person to make or break any situation. I unteach right. them what they think they know. And I teach them how energy and how the universe really works. I teach them how to get in touch with their soul so that they can raise their vibration. The law of attraction kicks in. And I teach them how to balance their energy so they can maintain the law of attraction. And then for every action, there's an equal or greater reaction. So every time they mm-hmm. change, the other person changes. And when you do things differently, the other person does things differently. It's like a wonderful little dance. So mm-hmm. what happens is they reattract the person into their life, because with the law of attraction, we're magnets. We're always either repelling or attracting at any time. And the other person is so amazed at why all these changes have taken that I have them teach the other person what it is I taught them. And now I have people teaching mm-hmm. their children the program so that their children can learn the five lessons. And then wow. as a result of that program, I learned that everybody that went through my program was learning five different soul lessons. And that's why I wrote the book, All's Fair in Love and Karma. And it's about the five lessons that our soul is here to learn so that it can up-level, basically, and progress on the other side as well as this side. And it also makes your life amazing. You don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes. You understand why you're with the people that you're with and why you keep choosing the same type of people in your life and mm-hmm. why you can't seem to get ahead financially. All those things have to do with the lessons that you get to learn.
That's amazing.
Then I also just finished doing a journal for people called the Destiny Card Journal. And I recommend that everyone do their intentions every full moon and every new moon. And on the new moon, you put it mm-hmm. in your journal, the journal for the intentions. And the Destiny Cards used to be called the Cards of the Magi. The Magi were the advisors to the leaders thousands of years ago. And the book to mm-hmm. read those cards was kept by the Knights Templar for thousands of years. Well, these cards are your regular deck of playing cards. And the book fell into the Catholic Church hand around the 1800s, and they didn't want people understanding how to read them, so they created parlor games.
Oh, okay.
Yep, the Gregorian calendar that we use in this country is based off that deck of playing cards. You have 52 cards in the deck, you have 52 weeks in the year. If you add them up numerically, mm-hmm. they come to 364. If you add in your joker, which has a numeric value of 1 1/4, you have your 365 days of the year and your leap year. You have 12 cards in each suit. You have 12 months of the year. You have 13 court cards. You have 13 moon cycles. You have 4 suits in the deck. You have 4 seasons. You have the red and the black that signify the day and the night. Everyone is ruled by 7 planets, the sun, the moon, uh-huh. and an alternate planet that affects a lot of people, which is called the Dacante ruler. Our lives break down into 13-year cycles, 7-year cycles, 7-week cycles, 7-day cycles, and yearly cycles. Mm-hmm. And it's based on numerology and astrology combined. And I read those cards. They're extremely accurate. So the journal that I made is based off of that, so people can see when they're born, you're born with a birth card, a planetary ruling card, and the Dacante ruler, which affects you as well. Life, and it's amazing when you read them. I've been able to pinpoint marriages, births, deaths, job changes, all kinds of things.
That's amazing. And are you able to read them, like if I were to go to your website and purchase a reading, would you be able to do that for me or for one of my listeners?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah. I recommend an hour reading the first time because I explain everything about you and mm-hmm. your partner, whoever else you want information on. All I need is birthdays. And then after that, I have people that come back all the time and just do a quick half hour reading to catch up and find out if they've got something important coming up in their life, mm-hmm. like a job or a new relationship or things like that. And I can give them information that way.
That's amazing. It sounds like your work is just very almost therapeutic, but for the soul. That's really awesome.
very diversified. I never know what's mm-hmm. coming down the road, but I'll jump in and help wherever I can at any time.
Yeah. Well, while we're kind of on the subject of books as well, I did want to ask if my listeners were to pick up one book of yours to start out with, which one would you recommend and why?
I would probably start out with All's Fair in Love and Karma, and that would give them okay. a lot of insight as to what's happening in their life. And in all of my books, mm-hmm. I have meditation directions so that it's done properly, because most people do not meditate properly. Most people don't teach it properly. And then from okay. there, if they want to enhance their abilities, then they can go back and get my first book, which is A Night on the Other Side, and learn more about it, enhancing their psychic and their mediumship abilities, because everyone has them.
That's such a cool concept to me. I've always wanted to, or had the desire to, you know, have these abilities, but I didn't think that it was something that everybody has. I thought it was more you're gifted with them. No. But I guess more people are just in tune to it than yeah. others.
Everybody's born with it. And I tell everybody it's like playing a piano. Some people sit down and all they can do is chopsticks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're getting a little message here and there, or maybe don't go to Dunkin' Donuts today or something. And then yeah. some people can really apply themselves and teach themselves a couple of songs. And then if you really want to be good at it, you really work hard at it, you can become a concert pianist, right? And yeah. then you have somebody like me. I'm the child prodigy that sits down and plays Mozart. That's not everybody, but you can learn and enhance your skills and be very proficient and very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help you in your everyday life, because when you learn how the universe works and you learn how to read the signs and the symbols and you can listen, it's just like, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? You can look back and see how mm-hmm. everything in your life been connected to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and brought you to where you are. Well, when you learn to tap into your psychic abilities and your soul, then you can look at the signs they're giving you to move you forward and make your path very easy to put you where you're supposed to be.
That's really enlightening. I'd love to learn more about that, just in terms of, you know, how I can open myself up to these things. Because my listeners know this, I'm a true believer in all of this stuff, but I can be pretty skeptical from time to time. And one of those things is thinking that I couldn't possibly have any sort of mediumistic abilities. But I kind of want to go back to something you mentioned just a moment ago, how you were, you know, quote unquote, a child prodigy when it came to being a medium. I saw that you knew from a very young age that you were a medium and that it sort of runs in your family, correct?
Right. So my mom was a medium, but I had no idea, to be honest. I came from a very dysfunctional, broken family, and my dad kidnapped us when, you know, five of us when I was young. There was eight of us.
Wow. Okay.
He just told us that she was crazy. And of course, when my abilities opened up, he was telling me the same thing until he was on his deathbed and then wanted to know more. But I knew, you know, when I was a child, my first earliest memory was around 3 years old, and I would hear someone mm-hmm. calling my name, and I would think it was my parents, and they were asleep.
Oh, wow.
Which scared the bejesus out of me. And then I got a little older, and I knew stuff was going to happen, and I'd start telling kids in school, and they label you a freak. So, mm-hmm. you know, I had lots of nervous habits and tics, and I stuttered, and, you know, I learned to try, first of all, not say anything, and then try to block it the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was one of the biggest skeptics, too, because if I couldn't see it, feel it, and touch it, to me, it wasn't real. I knew right. there was a higher power. I was very spiritual. I always knew there was something bigger. But I was exposed mm-hmm. to all kinds of religions growing up because my mother was always looking. And, you know, to me, I thought it was all hooey. I thought it was fake. I was like, really, people, you know, counting beads on a rosary or, you know, walking around with... you know, Mother Mary in their car or in the bathtub in the front yard. I'm like, what the heck? And let me tell mm-hmm. you, after I died and went to the other side, there is no doubt in my mind. It is very, very, very real.
Yeah.
And after my abilities opened up, it was like they kicked the door into the other side. And I had to learn how to turn it on and turn it off and who I was talking with and how to control my abilities. Otherwise, you just go crazy.
Right.
Literally.
I can imagine that it's, you know, voices all the time. They say that spirits are everywhere. Whether or not a specific location is haunted is beside the point. So well, what happens if you can't
is, yeah, energy attracts itself. So if you find a mm-hmm. place that's haunted and you, you know, like say same people that live in haunted houses, I lived in one. If you allow right. them in, you're going to be loaded because they're just going to attract all their friends.
Exactly.
You don't want them there. You should not be living with them. They're lower vibrational entities. They're not in the light. They're from the mm-hmm. light. They come and go. And they can come and go. You know, your parents will come and go. Your friends will come and go if they've gone into the light and they've gone to heaven. But if they're lower vibrational ghosts that are stuck here, they have the same energy as a person, and they're just going to bring you down. And a lot, mm-hmm. they'll also attract demonic activity if they start gathering. So you don't want them around. You really don't.
Really? I didn't know that. So they can, I mean, I guess that makes sense because it's almost like a beacon, right? The more something is there, the more it's going to attract other things, but.
Exactly. And the thing is, the demonics are looking for their energy to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll come in and find a bunch of souls, ghosts that are stuck here. So for instance, I did a house clearing up in Connecticut once. I had a woman kept contacting me because she had a demon in the house and it was attacking her children and her mother.
Gosh.
Yeah. So I actually went up there with a paranormal crew to film it. And, you know, we're looking at the kids' back to see the bite marks and they're forming as we're watching.
Oh my gosh.
So when I'm just standing in the house, I just get in there and I could feel the energy everywhere. And I knew I'm like, they're in the attic, they're in the basement, they're everywhere. And sure enough, when we went in the basement, it was full of Irish immigrants that had gathered okay. there when they died because it was a safe place for them. And more, you know, mm-hmm. one brought more and one brought more because, you know, and when this woman moved into this apartment and brought the demon with her, it's had all these souls already stuck there and it just fed off of their fear and made them even more afraid to feed off of their energy. So when I went yeah. down in the basement and saw them all and I told them, I said, listen, pay no attention to him. I said, you come into the light. You belong in the light. You don't belong here. Your families are in the light. They're waiting for you. And they're like, well, he told us if we go into the light, we'll burn. You will not burn. You will be fine. You have to trust me. I come mm-hmm. from the light. I bring the angels with me and you can go right into the light and you'll be fine. And one by one, they just went. And within 2 minutes, wow. they were all gone.
That's chilling.
And he was pissed. He yeah. was pissed. And I found more
I can
in the
imagine.
Attic. There were Italian immigrants in the attic, and there was a little Italian lady in the kitchen cooking. The place was full oh. of souls. There was someone who had OD'd in one of the bedrooms, and his body hadn't been found for days. So they couldn't even mm-hmm. use the bedroom because most of the time it smelled of death. And mm-hmm. the one or two times they did use it, the kid was getting pulled out of the bed by his feet.
Oh gosh, so, no. That's like my worst fear.
Yeah. So I went in there and talked to him and he died in there of a drug overdose, had been left in there for days before they found him. And he was afraid to go in the light because he knew he had let his mother down. So aww. I explained to him that, you know, it was just part of your journey. It was a challenge that you were supposed to try and overcome. It didn't happen. She's not upset with you. She loves you unconditionally. And I was able to call mm-hmm. his mother from the other side to bring him into the light, and he left. And as soon as he did, the smell was gone instantaneously.
That's amazing. That just gave me chills.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's, you know, it's a great feeling to bring them the other side. However, I will tell you, with the only people I can't bring through from the other side, the only people that I've not been able to find in heaven is someone that has killed someone. They've taken a life and have no remorse. So yeah. in that house, there was a little girl in the kitchen, crouched down in the closet, and she was hiding. And she was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And we found out there was a man walking back and forth pacing the kitchen, and he was going to kill her. And he clearly must have.
Okay.
She was a child in the closet. He must have killed it. It was his daughter.
Oh my God!
But she had witnessed him kill someone. He was part of the mob, and her grandmother was actually in the middle bedroom and wouldn't come out because she was afraid of her son. So I tried to move him. Now I'm talking to him and I'm asking him his name, and as he's telling me his name. Mm-hmm. They had one of those Oculus things that, you know, the
Oculus, yeah.
Yeah. So his name is popping up as I'm telling him what they're he's telling me his name is. It's coming up on their equipment at the same time.
That's amazing. Having like the physical like evidence like that alongside the medium evidence, like that is when you just can't deny what's going on in a house.
They're looking for confirmation and affirmation. So they're getting it the same time I'm getting. So I'm trying to move this Italian guy into the light, and he's afraid to go in because he wants to know if he's going to be punished. Now, I already know he's taken a life, and he doesn't have remorse. Mm-hmm. So, and I had to be honest. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I said, you may be. I don't know. Because you've killed someone. To my knowledge, you're going to go to hell, but I didn't tell him that. And so he refused to go in the light, so I told him he had to leave the house. He can't stay in the house. He has to leave. And he did leave. So as soon as he left, the old lady that was in the, his mother, who was in the middle bedroom as an old lady, immediately came and got her granddaughter that was in the kitchen closet, and I moved the two of them into the light right away. So now we're I'm still chasing this demon around, trying to get him out of the house, and he started swearing at me and growling at me, and I'm like, don't do that to me. I'm like, you can't stay here, and I'm chasing him, right? So I stopped for a second. I said, can you guys hear that? Because it was so loud, right, that he was growling at me. They're like, no. I said, play it back. See if it's on the tape. So sure enough, they played back the recording, and they could hear it swearing at me and growling on the recording.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Oh, now these guys got scared.
Yeah. While we're kind of on the subject of this demon, do you mind describing like what that feels like? Because I'm assuming for you it feels a lot different than just like your regular average person, like feeling that kind of energy.
So it's a sinking feeling. It's that pit of your stomach, really almost sick to your stomach, sinking feeling. Mm-hmm. That's what a demon feels like. Okay. To look at a demon. So I've had people send me pictures from investigations or books that they're working on and things, and they're distracted in the picture because they've caught a ghost in the picture. I'm like, look, you caught more than a ghost. You got a demon in the picture. They're like, where's there a demon in the picture? So I have to tell them to put it on their computer and blow it up so that they can see the demon. Demons are darker than black. They're darker than the black. Okay, and when they did that, and I pointed it out in the picture, they were able to see the demon in the picture. And then I let them know it was also a dog in the picture that was guarding the child that they had gotten a picture of, the ghost child. And he was like, that makes sense. He goes, we were getting a dog barking on the recording, but there was no dog around. There's a dog. I can pick up all kinds of things from everything. So I picked up the dog. Guarding the ghost, it's a ghost dog guarding the ghost child from this demon that was also in the picture. So once I pointed this all out, they could see it all. But they were trying to identify the boy in the picture, because what happened was they took a picture in the barn of an empty room, but the child had stuck his face in the picture full on into the camera lens when they took the picture, because he wanted to be known. He was molested and killed up in this barn. And he wanted them to know he was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Up in Canada.
Wow. Okay. So going back to the house then that you were in with the, you know, various different spirits, did you ever get that demonic entity out? I would assume so, but just to finish off that story.
No. So before I went up, I informed her, it's a three family. I said, I have to have access to every single solitary space in that house. From the basement to the attic, every room I have to have access. I said, so you need to make sure that all the neighbors are okay with that, that I can get into everyone's apartment. And she assured me that was the case. So don't you know, I get into the attic, I chase it around the attic, I get the other immigrants out. It runs across the hall and goes behind a door. Well, don't you know the door's locked? So I told her I need the key to get into that room. I don't have a key. Wait a minute. I told you I need to get into every room. It's my daughter's room. I didn't know she was going to work. She locked it. I can't reach her. She's not answering her phone. I'm like, he's going to stay in that room because I can't get to him. You know, this is what they do.
Yeah.
Even when you're sitting in the your house. They'll hide under your bed. They'll hide in your closet. They'll hide behind a door. They'll hide anywhere they can to avoid mm-hmm. you. This is why you have to get everywhere when you're saging your house.
Right.
So there was nothing I could do. I waited for like 45 minutes or an hour. It took me 4 hours to get to her house to begin with, and 4 hours back. Mm-hmm. So I cleansed everyone. I tried to talk to the grand, have her talk to her mother as much as I could. She had Alzheimer's, and the demon attaching to her because she's got Alzheimer's. Her vibration is low, so it's an easy attachment to try to get into her soul. But she could see it, mm-hmm. and she was afraid of it. So I left her with a cross that had been blessed. I left them with holy water, some crystals, some sage. All I could do mm-hmm. was direct them and tell them what they needed to do when they get in that room, because the demon's going to be in there.
Right.
And have no fear, because if you've got fear, it's not going to work. He feeds on that. And
yeah.
She said she did what I told her to do once she was able to get in the room. She said it was much quieter and it was better for a couple of months, but then it started again.
Okay.
So I can only assume that, you know, it built up more energy and decided that, you know, it was living off their fear again. And then they just moved again.
Yeah.
They'd moved 13 times in 9 years, but it's going to keep following them.
Yeah. Once I was going to say, an attachment to a place. It's an attachment to, you know,
right.
a soul. So
exactly. Yep.
That's unfortunate. But I mean, you did, I feel like, everything that you could do, and hopefully, you know,
I did. There was nothing more I could
do. Them.
Yeah. There's nothing more I can do. Hopefully she, you know, finds a better situation that she can get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have fear, and that's what I try to explain to people. You cannot be afraid. You have to learn to trust. Call on the angels. Mm-hmm. Call on a higher power. You can't have fear on anything.
Right. And you're given, you know, kind of power over these lower vibrational energies, we'll call them, by, you know, God or whatever higher power there may be. Or at least that's what the theory is, or that I've come across. So yeah,
very true.
I mean, hopefully it gets better.
It's good versus evil.
Yeah, exactly. Light versus dark, good versus evil, love versus whatever the opposite of that would be, hate. That's so interesting, though. I've heard about a lot of, like, demonic infestation stories. I think we all have in this line of work, but it's interesting to hear firsthand accounts of people who have not only interacted them, but seen them and felt them. So thank you so much for sharing that. If you're comfortable with it, would you mind kind of talking about your near-death experience? It's totally cool if not, but just, you know, while I have you here.
Yep, absolutely. So I had injured my back shortly after I got married. I was about 22. And I had been trying to get pregnant and found out I was pregnant mm-hmm. right after, within weeks of injuring my back. So I couldn't do too much about it. Spent the last 3 months of the first pregnancy in bed. And then, you know, was going to the doctor for it, who wanted to operate. And I just knew that if I had surgery, I was going to die. I just knew it.
Oh,
and that's your soul.
Okay.
You have that knowing. That's your soul. Okay. And mm-hmm. I put it off as long as I could. I put it off 5 years. And I was told that if I didn't have the surgery, I couldn't have any more children, because the disc was just going to explode in my back and they'd be picking out the pieces. Before I went in for the surgery, you know, I did tell my husband and, you know, my friends. I said, you know, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And they're like, oh, no, you're going to be fine. You're just afraid. I'm like, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So the night before the surgery, I had a MRI test done, and they, you know, had a contrast dye. And I told them, I said, I think I'm allergic to this. I had it once before. I had a really bad reaction to it. I couldn't get off the table for hours. I was really sick. They're like, oh, no. Everybody has that reaction. It's normal. I'm like, okay. So as soon as they injected me with it, I coded. And I was gone immediately. I was like 2 seconds and I was in heaven. I was in what I now have learned is called the fifth dimension. It's the lowest level of heaven. And I could see everything that was happening not just to me in that room, but everything in the hospital. I could kind of hear conversations. Everything at once was happening.
Wow.
You know, two nurses at the nurse station talking about it. I saw him, you know, I saw the doctor go over, and then I saw him run over and hit the thing, the button on the wall. Then I see the crash cart come in. Then I see them inject something into the IV line that doesn't do anything. Then I see him trying the paddles that doesn't work. And then, you know, they tip the bed all the way up. So I'm like the feet in the air, head on the, and he's slapping my face saying, I can't lose you. I can't lose you. Meanwhile, I don't feel any of this. I'm watching this as I'm now in heaven, and I start seeing, if you can picture yourself in the front row of an IMAX theater, I'm getting a life review in front of me. And it's everything that's ever happened in my life that brought me joy, anyone that was ever in my life that brought me joy, that I loved and care about. And then I'm hearing, it's really not your time. You can stay if you want to, or you can go back. It's your choice.
Wow. And okay.
I had to really think about it for a minute, because it's just amazing. It's the two things that you take with you, knowledge, and you're accessing all knowledge of all your lifetimes when you're there, and your feelings. And it was just the feeling of love, so much love. If you could wrap yourself in a blanket of warm love. And then I remembered I had two children, and I remembered that I'm supposed to be here for them. They were the main reason that I'm here. And that's why I have to come back. And as soon as I made that decision, I was back in my body in a second.
Wow.
So I've since
it's that research. Simple.
Yeah. So I never called it a near-death experience. I never even heard the terminology till a few years ago to know what it was, to be honest with you, because I knew I died.
Okay.
And the scientists are the ones that have coined the term near-death experience, because they haven't been able to quantify it yet. When they do, they'll change the term. but less than 10% of the people that actually die and come back make it to the level that I went to and have a full life review. It's not very common.
Yeah.
And what I've come to find out is, you know, studying quantum physics now, light travels at over 300 million miles a second, and our souls are pure energy. So when I went into the light, I was traveling at the speed of light, and now my soul came back into my body at that speed. I'm not at that speed at the moment, but my energetic vibration is automatically much higher than most people's. So I have it's very easy for me to connect to the other side and literally go back to the fifth dimension, the lowest level of heaven, at will. I can go back and forth at will. I got most of my education at this point from the souls and the angels on the other side. They're teaching me stuff constantly, whether it's a reading that I'm doing, whether it's a soul that I'm bringing through, you know, constantly. When my mom was dying, there was an angel sitting up in the corner of the room next to the television set. And I asked her, I said, Mom, do you see the angel up there? And she said, no. So I'm thinking to myself, that's a good sign. She's going to recover. She's going to be okay. The next morning when I went up, was met by an oncologist and told there was just nothing they can do, and she's not going to make it more than a few hours. I asked her again, Mom, do you see the angel in the room now? And she said, yeah, I see him. So during the night,
oh my gosh,
I asked him what his name was. And he told me his name was Makael. So I looked up the angel Makael, and it's the angel that takes advanced souls to the higher realms. So, this is what he does. I thought about it a few days later, maybe a week, and I looked it up again, and his Makael is Michael. It's Archangel Michael.
Oh.
If he had told me his name was Archangel Michael, I would not have looked up Makael. I would have never have known this is also what he does. I would have never have known that's part of what his job is. I only call on him for protection. I'm in his soul group. That's the reason he was there to take her back, because we reincarnate from lifetime to lifetime with the same soul group. And Archangel Michael was sitting up there to take her to the higher realm. It was just mind-blowing. But this is how they're always teaching me something new. It's just amazing.
Just like little signs here and there. Like, you know.
I wouldn't have looked it up if he said Michael.
Yeah, why would he not just say, like, oh, it's Archangel Michael? Because I think that everybody, or at least, maybe this is my Catholic upbringing coming out, but I feel like that name is one that I'm like, oh, I know exactly who that is.
Exactly,
so,
and I would not
that was
have
very intentional.
I would never have looked it up, and I would have never known that that is part of what he does. I would never known. And then I actually saw my soul leave her body, and I saw her go to the other side with all of her relatives that were arguing about who was going to bring her through. They all showed up with Archangel Michael, and they all brought her to the other side. And she immediately went to my father and my two sisters, who were right there waiting for her. And my father thanked her for coming through in this lifetime to allow him to do what he needed to do. It was something he needed to learn.
Okay. So is that how you found out then that your mom was a psychic medium? Like,
Nope. So I reconnected with my mom after, you know, because my dad kidnapped us. So I didn't see her for maybe like 12, 13 years. And I invited her to my wedding. And she came to my wedding.
Oh, okay.
She came to my wedding. And then about 10 years later, I opened a business and she was so proud she would come by and visit me anytime she was in the area. So I reconnected with my mom, and then I would still only see her a few times a year. She was very, she was brought up during the Depression, German parents, very unloving. My parents never told me they loved me or hugged me until I was in my 30s and I told them I loved them and hugged them and forgave them for my upbringing. And I reconnected with her a lot when I was taking care of her in the nursing home when she was dying for a little over a year. And we, you know, I was going through mediumship classes at the time and I was teaching it. And she would, you know, it just so happens I was getting trained at the same places she was had trained 50 years earlier.
That is spooky.
Yeah.
Like,
and
really cool, but very spooky.
A couple of people that still remembered her. Yeah, it was just amazing. Yeah,
it's funny how stuff like that works out. While we're here, just to circle back to the concept of reincarnation, we obviously, it seems like you believe in both ghost as well as reincarnation. To be clear, I do as well, but I like to ask this question from people who have that sort of dichotomy in terms of beliefs. In your opinion, how do you think that those two concepts can exist at the same time? Because for a while, I always thought that it was one or the other. And I like to kind of get people's perspective on that.
All right. So first, a couple things. I was exposed to a ton of different religions when I was a kid because my mom was always looking. And I'm talking a ton of different religions. I was the only Catholic. I was the only non-Catholic at a Catholic school. My sister's Hindu.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been exposed to tons of them. They're all right. They're all wrong. Okay. There's pieces in every religion that is right. And there's pieces that are wrong. And they're all businesses at this point. But they all serve a purpose. If they bring us together so that we help each other, if they enhance your life, if they teach love, those are the things that they're the good points for them. Okay. Some of the stories are true. Some of the stories aren't true. So one has nothing to do with the other. We are not the body. We are not the suit. We are the soul that's inside, which is 100% energy. Everything in the universe is energy. It cannot be destroyed. It can only be created or changed. That's it.
Exactly.
So when you leave the suit behind, where does the energy go? If the energy goes into the light and goes at the speed of light and goes to heaven, it can now race around and go wherever it wants in milliseconds, okay? When that soul decides it's going to incarnate and come back into a body, then, you know, they've shown at the moment of conception, there's actually an electrical spark that takes place, and I believe that is the soul entering the body, entering what's going to be a baby at that point, and that's a miracle, okay? No scientist has ever able to recreate that. They can grow it outside of the womb in a petri dish, but they can't recreate it, because if you're if, you know, as a baby grows, if it continued to grow at that rate for the entire 9 months, it would be 150 pounds and 6 feet tall in 9 months. So there are triggers in there as it's growing that are shutting off and turning on. You know, it's duplicating and it's creating cells, and certain things start and certain things. It's a miracle. They can't figure it out. They cannot duplicate it. It's a miracle. End of story. Okay. But it has a soul. It has a soul. Now, again, when we lose this body and that soul is now just energy, if it comes out and does not go into the light, where's it going to go? There's only two other places left. It's stuck here, okay, walking around as a ghost, because it's just energy at that point and it has not gone into the light, so it cannot move any faster than you and I, or it goes to hell. I have never been to hell.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to go to hell, but I can tell you that a few years ago, I was at the gym working out, and this little old man in his probably 70s came over to me. Actually, I think he was in his 80s at that point, came over to me. And he said, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm like, sure. He goes, I heard you are a medium. I said, yes, I am. He says, I also heard that you died when you were younger. I said, yes, I did. He goes, I did too. I said, it's amazing, isn't it? I says, isn't it just amazing? I said, heaven is unbelievable. He goes, I don't know. I didn't go there. I went, what? He goes,
oh my gosh.
I didn't go to heaven. He goes, I went to hell. I said, you went to hell? I said, to my knowledge, the only people that go there are people that have committed murder and don't have remorse. He goes, you're right. He goes, they took me to hell because they wanted me to see it. And they wanted me to come back and tell people that it's real. I said, I'm like, how old were you? He goes, I was 45. He goes, I had a heart attack. He goes, and that's where they took me. He goes, they told me I'm not staying, but they told me they wanted me to see it so that people know it's real. And when I came back, I had no choice. He says, I joined the Jesuit priesthood.
Okay.
Yep. That's, he goes, and
that story just gave me chills all over my body.
He says, I go to the prisons. He goes, and I counsel the prisoners. He goes, so that if they have taken a life, they have to understand that it was wrong and they have to have remorse, but they're going to go there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I can imagine what it's like. I can imagine. I don't want to see it. I don't need to know it. And I know what demons are like. He's the only person that I've ever met so far that has told me that that's where they went when they died. I thought it was just an incredible story.
Just that is incredible. Yeah. Incredible is, like, put it lightly. Yeah. That just, like, gave me full body chills.
So everybody's seen the movie Ghost, right? Remember the movie Ghost?
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg? Okay, so my sister was raised Hindu. My sister was Hindu. And she didn't watch a lot of movies, but she watched that movie. And she said it was so accurate the way they had the demons come up out of the ground and grab a soul, drag them back.
I've heard that that's very accurate depiction.
I mean, when my mother was in the hospital dying around 2 or 3 in the morning, I started seeing these little, I call them minions, but they're little shadow people that are about 2 to 3 feet tall. And they were around the edge of the room. And I knew they were demonic. I could feel it immediately. And they're going from room to room to see if they feel a soul. I know exactly what they're doing. And I immediately called on the angels to come into the room and get rid of them. And they did immediately.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They're creepy.
So then if you are a ghost, like say, you know, God forbid something happens to me and I choose to, you know, haunt this house or whatever. Is it possible then that since I didn't pass on, I'm not saying this is what I want to do, but since I didn't pass on, my soul can be stolen and basically dragged to hell? It's a loaded question, I know.
I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
Okay.
However, the demonic souls that come back here and are feeding off of the energy of the ghosts that are here are really looking for a body. Okay, they don't have a body.
Yeah.
So they're more looking to attach to a living person and get inside to try to get their soul that way. Now, there's a lot of people, there are a lot of ghosts that are stuck here just because they want to stay here. You know, I owned a restaurant that used to be a restaurant many, many years ago and was haunted by a cook that died in a street accident. He was an alcoholic. And we would see him walk right through the restaurant with his leather jacket on and everything. And he'd go into a room where there's no exit and he'd disappear. The wait staff would see him, the customers would see him. And, you know, he would turn every light on in the place at like 2 o'clock in the morning after everybody left. And I'm yelling at my cooks. I'm like, what the hell? You guys have to shut the lights off at night. My electric bill's through the roof. And they're like, we did. Mm-hmm. We did. But I'm looking at the cameras. Sure enough, they shut everything down. Everything was locked up and ready to go. Half hour later, everything pops on in the place. I'm like, what the hell?
And you could see him on camera?
Yeah. I didn't see him on camera. I could see him. I went in. I saw him. I called him out. I said, listen, we got to have a talk. You need to get over here. And he did. Mm-hmm. He showed up, told me his story, told me what happened. He told me he really liked being there. He was really happy that I turned it back into a restaurant again. And, you know, it feels like home to him. He's happy there. Aww. So I don't usually do this, but I made a deal with him. I said, listen, fine, you can stay. I said, but you can only turn things on if there's a problem that I'm supposed to be made aware of. Other than that, you need to keep everything off and you need to keep out of sight because you can't be scaring people. He was scaring the shit out of the bartender.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, they have him on video. They have his orb on video flying through the place and all kinds of stuff. I have a picture that bartender took looking out of the window, and I would put holy water at the door. So if you were evil, you couldn't come in. And I would sage the place like every other day. It's a bar. Mm-hmm. But she took a picture, and you can see about 30 entities with their faces pressed up against the window looking in, wanting to come in.
That's so eerie.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable picture.
That's a great find to have. It sounds like, you know, you do a really good job, I think, of keeping your spaces clean. But catching something like that on camera is just, like, mind-boggling to me.
They get in, but they wanted to. So then I had to go outside and tried to clear the properties because I didn't even want them on the property. So I went and buried statues in the ground on all my corners and blessed the property to try to keep them off the property because that I didn't want them even on the property.
Yeah, because like you said, it can attract something a little less savory.
Yeah, and there's other spirits that are in there. There was a band that used to come and play, and the guy's son was an electrician and died on the job with him. They were working together. And every time he played, his son would be right next to him when he's playing the drums and stuff. And I've got a great video of him coming out of the wall as an orb and flying through the place. It was great.
That's awesome. That sounds like just like a fun, maybe contrary to popular belief, that sounds like a fun place to work as somebody who's interested in that. I've always wanted to work somewhere haunted. I think that I did at one point, but
it is, it isn't. It can be a little rattling. Yeah. But his son was just following and staying with him, but his son had gone into the light too. That's why he was able to move so quickly as an orb that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can come back and forth too. Like, you know, absolutely. Once you pass on.
That's what they do. They go back and forth. Yep.
They come visit
you all the time. They'll come visit you all the time if you want them to. Your loved ones. They always want to be remembered. They don't want to be forgotten. They want to help you.
Yeah. Well, that's really comforting too, just in terms of, you know, the concept of your own mortality and like knowing people who have passed on, and it's a comforting thought. And I think honestly that's a great place to end this episode. But before we do, can you just remind my listeners one more time where they can find your your books and your website and everything like that?
Absolutely. Yep. JuneEdward.com. No S, JuneEdward.com. And there's a free webinar on there for anybody that wants to take it and learn a little bit about energy and how it works and see if it resonates with you. If you're interested in the program from there, you're welcome to schedule a call with me. You can book an appointment with me on there. I do work outside of the United States as well by Skype and Zoom.
Awesome.
I do all kinds of readings. I do all kinds of different things. You can find me on social media. I'm on all the social media sites. There's links to all of my books on my website. And if you do the whole webinar to the end, I also send the directions on how to meditate properly. But they're in all my books as well.
Well, that's awesome. I'm definitely going to take the webinar just because I feel like this conversation has been fascinating. But thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
This episode of Haunts was written and produced by me, Courtney Hayes, in collaboration with June Edward. Once again, make sure to follow June on social media and check out her website for information about her work. I'll have her information linked down in the show notes. If you've been enjoying the show so far, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review. A lot of work goes into each episode, and reviewing the show really helps us reach more listeners each week. Also, if you're interested in learning more about this week's topic, I greatly encourage you to check out the show notes section at hauntscast.com. This is the location where I share my sources and provide any visual aid that may be referenced during the show. While you're there, make sure to follow us on social media at HauntsCast, and don't forget to stick around to the end of the episode for this week's podcast recommendations. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, happy haunting.
As the moonlight pierces through the dark, paranormal enthusiast and best friends, Farrah and Courtney venture deep into the woods, armed with flashlights and a sense of adventure.
Farrah, are you sure this is a good idea?
Sure, I'm sure. We're paranormal investigators. We're not scared of any ghosts.
What was that?
Probably some animals. Oh my God. My flashlight is going out.
Following the chilling sounds, the two stumble upon an abandoned and haunted building, its dark silhouette looming over them.
Look, there it is. The abandoned radio station. It's supposed to be mad haunted.
Let's be careful. We don't know what's inside.
Wow, look at this place.
A long growl is heard coming from behind the girls. They turn around slowly, and to their surprise, a zombie is standing in front of them dressed to the nines, wearing a 70s bell-bottom hot pink and purple leisure suit.
Who are you pasty-looking females, and what the heck are you doing in here?
Who are you calling pasty? Nice suit. Did you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe, or did John Travolta have a yard sale?
Sorry about that. We didn't mean any harm. We're just curious about this place.
Curious, huh? Well, come with me. I got something to show you.
And as they wander deeper into the building, they uncover vintage studio equipment covered in dust and decay.
Farrah, you were looking for a new place to set up your podcast, right?
And this is it?
Whoa there, sweet cheeks.
No, don't worry. We'll make it worth your while. We love the strange and unexplained phenomena, true crime, macabre, and the sinister. And hey, you'd be a great touch to the show. Maybe be an announcer for us as well.
That does sound stellar. I'm in.
A few minutes later, 12 seconds later, 3 weeks later, many months later.
Okay, we're rolling. Welcome to Studio Sinister Podcast,
where we explore stories that haunt us all.
And then we'll go make a fresh kill to celebrate.
Dawn.
Just kidding.
Join Farrah, Courtney, and Dawn the Zombie on the 1st, 10th, and 20th of every month for some rad, chilling stories.
And if you piss your pants, that's your problem.
Come embrace the haunt. See you soon, Sinister Seekers.
What's up, frickin' weirdos? My name is Kevin, and I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and where the weird ones are on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything. And stay weird.